From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The King's Highway. The text is Isaiah 35, verse 8. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The way of holiness is so straight and plain that the simplest minds cannot go astray if they constantly follow it. The worldly wise have many twists and turns, and yet they make terrible blunders and generally miss their end. Worldly policy is a poor, short-sighted thing, and when men choose it as their road, it leads them over dark mountains. Gracious minds know no better than to do as the Lord bids them, but this keeps them in the King's highway and under royal protection. Let the listener never for a moment attempt to help himself out of a difficulty by a falsehood or by a questionable act. But let him keep in the middle of the high road of truth and integrity, and he will be following the best possible course. In our lives we must never practice circular sailing, nor dream of shuffling. Be just and fear not. Follow Jesus and heed no evil consequences. If the worst of ills could be avoided by wrongdoing, we should in the very attempt have fallen into an evil worse than any other ill could be. God's way must be the best way. Follow it, though men think you a fool, and you will be truly wise. Lord, lead thy servants in a plain path because of their enemies.
He's my Savior and my friend, the author and creator, beginning and the end. All my eyes are fixed upon Him, He who died to take my place. My heart is made to serve Him, His pattern I must trace. I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm He who laid down every course, He's run the race before us, of strength the runner's source. Oh, consider with attention, He who took a servant's form, completed our requirement, to His Father's will conform. Endure what God deems best. I'll lay aside the sinful weights that make me fail the test. I will
turn, not to the left, the right, I will not face the rear. When friend or foe forsake me, Lord, I will not shrink in fear.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series in this book of Romans, Dr. Cairns now brings the concluding portion of a message called A Roadmap to Romans. The theme of the epistle is the righteousness of God, what it is, why we need it, and how it may be obtained. This gives us the key to studying the book. Because of Adam's sin, all men are born sinners and face the condemnation of God. But God in His mercy sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and die in the place of guilty sinners. Christ is the second Adam. All who are in Christ receive forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. The Apostle Paul works this out in the course of the epistle. Now to conclude this message, A Roadmap to Romans, here is Dr. Cairns.
Here we're dealing with the greatest book in the Bible, in the exposition of the gospel. Here we're dealing with the most full, the most profound exposition of the gospel in all the canon of Holy Writ. And how does it start? It starts by painting this black canvas of human wickedness and human guilt, and bringing the whole world under condemnation by the law of God. Paul wants men to see, if ever they are to have hope of being saved, they must see their need to be saved. What is the need to be saved? Why do people need to be saved? Nowadays we are told it's because we need a meaning to life. Now, there is a meaning to life that can only be arrived at when you've got to the gospel. But you don't need to be saved simply to give a meaning to life. We're told we need to be saved to gain a purpose for living. Again, you will never have the most glorious purpose possible to live until you've got to the gospel. But let me tell you, you don't need to be saved simply to gain a purpose for living. We again are told that you need to be saved so that you'll have God as your friend. You'll have Jesus to draw near in the hour of trouble. Thank God he does draw near to his people in the hour of trouble. But that's not the fundamental reason you need to be saved. You need to be saved because God uses two words to describe you: ungodly and unrighteous. And we will look at those in due time. Ungodly deals with the root of your problem. Unrighteous deals with the fruit of that root. And being ungodly and unrighteous, Paul would say here, you are brought under the wrath and condemnation of a God who inflexibly is set against sin. And his law thunders forth his wrath, and he will not mitigate the sentence. He will not overlook the sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We sinned in Adam. That is original sin. We sin in our own bodies and minds every day. That is our own fruit of that original sin, willfully indulged in every moment we live. And therefore, by nature and by practice, every single man, woman, and young person among us is brought under condemnation, and justly so. That's what this first part of Romans is all about. Sin and death in Adam. If that's where the book closed, my, what a tragedy it would be for the world. But thank God he goes on to the second part, which is righteousness and life in Christ. That's a long section. It starts at chapter 3, verse 21. It goes all the way through to the end of the book. And if you look at the notes I give you, you'll see that I have nine individual sections. Many of those have many subsections, and I'm not even going to recite them to you tonight. But through it all, it's grace in union with Christ. Grace brought to us by the person of Christ. grace brought to us through the merits and the mediation of Christ. Grace that finds us condemned and does not leave us until it lifts us up to glory, to be with Him for all eternity. And as Paul works out the plan of grace and how the Lord Jesus Christ both obeyed the precept of the law and paid its penalty all in our behalf, as he works out how Christ propitiated God, that is, put away His wrath and reconciled man, how He united believers to Himself, thereby freeing them from condemnation and instating them in a standing of perfect righteousness with God. As Paul works out how Christ gives to His people His Holy Spirit and assures them of victory now over sin and glory for all eternity. As I say, as Paul works out all this, he cries at the end of chapter 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Coming to the very end of the book in chapter 16, 25 through 27, and just to keep the central thought, I'm going to leave out an elaborative passage in the middle. We'll deal with it if we get there in due time. But to get his meaning, he says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." If I could put it this way, when Paul had finished expounding the gospel, I think in one sense he was exulting. I could be wrong in detecting this. I think in another sense he was exhausted. Having delved into the depths of the human condition, and having then penetrated to the heart of God's grace in Jesus Christ, having followed the Son of God down from heaven all the way down to the cross and into the tomb, and then all the way up from the tomb to the throne, having seen in Christ the perfect righteousness that is then made over to us, made over to our account by the free grace of God, having penetrated also the mighty plan of grace wherein God has lifted us out of an estate of condemnation and has placed us in a place of acceptance and given us a standard of perfect righteousness before God, having done all that, Paul can only say, "How deep are the riches of God's wisdom and knowledge?" Only the mind of God could come up with a plan like this. How deep are the riches of His knowledge and wisdom? He comes to the place where he says, "To God only wise be glory. My pride is leveled in the dust." Here was a man who was born a Jew. He was proud of all that he was as a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had reached the pinnacle of self-righteousness, but also of self-righteous achievement. He had got to the top. But once he saw what he was really, a sinner condemned and unclean, and all his righteousnesses, as Isaiah says, just like filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Once he saw himself as he really was, And then he saw God's provision in Jesus Christ, the glory of the person, the perfection of his obedience, the fullness of his atonement, the completeness of his salvation, the justification that he gives. My, when Paul saw this, he just is prostrated before God. And he's saying, to God be all the glory. Let me live for the praise of his glory. Let me indulge in this, not the fantasy of human greatness, but the fact of God's greatness. And let me tell it to the world, how great is our God. Men and women, as we come to this book of Romans, I have in some ways some very limited, but in other ways almost illimitable purposes in mind. The limited purpose is to take you and me and dash our pride in the dust before God. To smash the idol of human self-righteousness. To break it in pieces and let the wind of God blow it away from our hearts forever. And I want us to come to behold our Savior. And in contrast to the blackness of our condemnation before God, naturally in Adam, to see the brightness of our justification unto eternal life because we are garbed in the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by naked faith. And I tell you, if I, by the grace of God, can see those results for studying the book of Romans, I will be well pleased. Because from this place there will first be a people who will seek the Lord for salvation. Second, there will be a people from this place who will be able to live the Christian life in its proper fullness. And third, there will be a people who in that enjoyment of fullness of what they are and have in Christ will not only live holy lives, but they will go out from this place to blaze a trail in a dark, sinful, cursed world. A trail of the light of God to dispel the darkness of men. A trail of love and mercy. The very trail that Paul blazed when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as lies within me, I am ready to preach the gospel. May God be pleased to open his word to our hearts. May God be pleased to open our hearts to his word and produce these fruits for its preaching in your life and in mine. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word. How we thank thee for this great book of the Bible. We thank thee for the great Christ whom it sets before us. Lord, we pray this Sabbath evening, open our hearts and our minds to the Savior. Lord, we pray that any who have come in to this meeting, proud of the tattered, filthy robes of their own self-righteousness. We'll see them for what they are and be glad to cast them aside, to wash in the blood of the Lamb and receive from thy hand the robe of the spotless righteousness of Christ. Lord, we pray, give repentance and faith and save the lost. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give thy people such a joy in the Lord that we will be able to live by the faith of this gospel. And oh God, that then we will go out and tell it abroad and lead others to Christ. Hear our prayer. Answer abundantly and give fruit for the study of the Word of God. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.